This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. 877-217-5757 is your number, and we're switching gears and joined by Bob Spitz, an award-winning author of many biographies, including the Beatles, and he's represented Bruce Springsteen and Elton John in several capacities, but he has turned his attention to the 40th American president, one Ronald Wilson Reagan, who is a man who still has great relevance in our world as we know it. He left office January 20th, 1989, so come January it'll be 30 years, but his impact on the 20th and now 21st century is immense. 877-217-5757. The book is Reagan, An American Journey, from Bob Spitz. Bob, good morning to you. Nice to talk with you. Well, Bob, why did you, as I mentioned, you've written about entertainment largely, and now you're writing about an actor, but an actor who is better known as the 40th United States president and the former governor of California, and a giant as far as political figures in our time. Why did you do it?
Well, I'll tell you, when I looked at the books that I had written about the Beatles, and I was also Julia Child's biographer, I saw that there was a common thread between those books, and that, number one, they were about subjects who were beloved, and number two, they had changed the culture. So when I sat down to try to write about, to think about writing about someone else, I thought, you know, I've got to find somebody who fit both of those categories, and that was increasingly difficult to do. I went through, you know, all the Kennedy Center honorees and the lists of the Presidential Medals of Honor. People either went one side or another. You know, they changed the culture or they were, but not both. And then my wife said, what about Ronald Reagan? And at first I thought, impossible. A presidential biography is an enormous undertaking. And number two, I was a lifelong Democrat. I've never voted for a Republican in my life. So it meant if I undertook this, I would have to put all of my liberal mindset aside, be objective, not write a partisan take, and really learn about why this man was so beloved to so many people in the United States. It was a real challenge.
Well, he won two landslide elections, carrying 44 states in 1980 and 49 in 1984. He was a two-term governor of California. He was the only candidate to beat one of the Browns for governor, and he beat Pat Brown, the father of Jerry, in 1966. And years earlier, Ronald Reagan had been a liberal Democrat. He campaigned heavily for Hubert Humphrey in 1948 and for Harry Truman. What happened to him?
Yeah, well, you know, his father had brought him up diligently as a Roosevelt Democrat, and Reagan really subscribed to those tenets. He really cared passionately about the working man and about the needy and the poor and helping people. But when he was in Hollywood, when he became president of the Screen Actors Guild, and it was at a really turbulent time in Hollywood when there were many union strikes that had turned to violence. There was, of course, the blacklist. And Reagan, who had joined a lot of liberal groups, committees, found that he, felt that they were being taken over by a communist element and that the element was kind of evil. And he blamed it on the left. He also had two actor friends, Dick Powell and Robert Montgomery, who were passionate Republicans. And they slowly worked on him, and Reagan gradually shifted his allegiance from the Democrats to the Republican Party. And, of course, you know, brought the element of conservatism squarely into the White House.
Well, as governor of California, from January of 67 to January of 75, he was a conservative governor, yet signed one of the earliest laws permitting therapeutic abortion. How did this happen?
Yeah, you know, I called the late Tony Billinson, who was a California assemblyman who sponsored that bill. And I went, he assured me that Reagan was deeply opposed to abortion. But he had gone to Reagan and said, you know what, we've done some studies and found that 68% of the people in California favor therapeutic abortions. And Reagan looked at those studies, and he said to Bill and said, you know, I'm opposed to abortion, but I am the governor of all the people of California, not just some of the people of California. And if this is what they want, I'm going to sign it. He regretted it, but he did it anyway. And I think that's truly remarkable. You know, the governor of all the people, not just some of the people. You'd be very hard pressed to find someone who today would say the same thing.
As president of the United States, he was elected when he was 69. He actually was the oldest president elected until Trump, who was 70 years old when he was elected
right.
in 2016. But he served two terms, did Reagan, and 4 years, 5 years after he departed, he announced that he had early onset of Alzheimer's, perhaps more than early, but was that in any way a factor during his presidency?
You know, I talked to a lot of people who were very close to him, and especially the late Howard Baker, who was his third chief of staff. Baker had heard through colleagues that they feared that he was suffering from Alzheimer's. So when he joined the administration late in the second term, he was extra vigilant to see if they were going to have to invoke the 25th Amendment. But he found something completely the opposite. He said Reagan was completely lucid. You know, he was an older man. He tended to doze off during the day, take a nap. He was never good with remembering people's names. But aside from that, Baker found him to be very sharp. And in fact, in all of my investigation, I found that there was really no indication of early Alzheimer's while he was in office. It wasn't until about 6 months out of office on July 4th, when he and Nancy were riding horseback in Mexico, that he fell off the horse and hit his head. And that precipitated really the beginning of the end right there. But I will tell you that I think he always knew that Alzheimer's was on the horizon. His mother had it, his father had it, his brother Neil had it. I think he knew it was coming.
Reagan, An American Journey from Bob Spitz. And it's a book not only about his presidency, but also about his acting career, which, Bob, was substantial.
Very substantial. I mean, you know, this was a guy who came to Hollywood just a few years after Talking Pictures began. And was there during the heyday of the golden age of Hollywood. One of the most interesting things for me as a researcher was I got to meet Olivia de Havilland just short of her 100th birthday. She rarely talks to people, rarely sees people, but she wanted to participate in a biography about Ronald Reagan. And I have to say, Jim, that she was more lucid than you and me. She had wonderful long-term memory, and she could really bring back those days of not only Reagan and Hollywood as a movie star, but also she had all her notes from the beginnings of the Screen Actors Guild and the turbulence that went on there, and gave me such a good picture of what happened.
How close was he to dying on March 30th, 1981?
Much closer than we knew. They weren't aware that he was shot because the bullet that entered his body had been flattened out, and so they couldn't find it at first. And then it was very, very close to his heart. We were given the impression that it was a routine operation. It was not, and it was a very, very difficult operation. But the doctors, all of whom were very young, were an excellent staff, and Reagan had a kind of a remarkable recovery. It happened right away. But I think it really put him in touch with his own mortality, mm-hmm. and it changed his vision of what he had to do with the time that he had left in office.
And the book is full of factoids you may not know, and you noted that Reagan, when he was a young boy, I mean a very young boy, he almost died in an accident.
Yeah, you know, his dad was, as I said, a reckless alcoholic, And you know, shouldn't have been driving a car, but Reagan was in a car with his dad, and it turned over, and they had to pry him out of that. He was only a couple years old, but he came very close to not making it out of there.
And he had lifelong claustrophobia, perhaps as a result of that.
He did, and you know, he didn't want to fly. And for most of his life, while he was a Hollywood star, he never set foot in a plane, but they read him the Riot Act when it came time to campaigning, and that it was the only way to do it, the most economic way. And he overcame that, and I think he spent the rest of his life in a plane.
Well, it's Reagan, An American Journey by Bob Spitz, and to this point, the definitive work about the 40th United States president. Thank you for joining us today, Bob.
My pleasure, Jim. Nice speaking to you.
Nice talking with you.